welcome to Showtime, Point of Times and God's Eternal Kingdom. Today with us are Pastor John, his lovely wife, Stella Valero, Daniel Hernandez, Pastor Henry, and Steve Allen. And then, I didn't forget this time, myself, Adex.
Very good.
Last but not least.
Last but not least.
All right, Pastor John, why don't you get us started off?
Well, thank you, Abe. I think what I want to start off with today is that I just want to declare what a blessing it is today to have my grandson Daniel sitting at this table with me. And I want to read out of Deuteronomy just a couple of verses here where right after God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and what he tells him, and it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. And that part, this is just talking about the commandments, but I think we all realize that there's a lot more to that. And that is that whatever it is that God has shown us, whatever it is that the journeys that we have traveled as fathers or grandparents, whatever it may be, that we would teach our grandkids. And we're just talking earlier where I remember when all my grandkids were, you know, 3 or 4 years old, and I remember my wife having the privilege of taking care of them. And she taught, she would be having them all in front of the TV playing songs of worship, having them raise their arms and having them dance. And there was so much that was going on. It wasn't just, let's take care of you and I'll feed you and you go home. She taught them about God. And I think that's what I wanted to bring up today, that we as parents and grandparents and just even friends, we have a responsibility to teach our kids. And when we do sit at home during dinner, to tell them about what God has done in our lives, and just to have that confidence that that it's a inheritance that they will give to their children and their children's children. So I just want to thank God for being able to have this honor of who would ever know that I would have my grandson ministering in the same way that I am today. So thank you.
Amen.
I think the proof is in the fact that I'm sitting here right now. You guys have done a lot just to impress on me, and without you guys, I definitely wouldn't be in this conversation right now. Mm-hmm. So thank you. I really appreciate your bestowing God into my life.
Yeah. Welcome, Neil.
Praise God.
So, you know, we thought it was kind of crazy, you know, when we were doing this podcast before, right? With everything going on in the world.
Yeah. Yep.
How long has it been? Like 2 weeks?
Four.
Whoa. No, since we stopped
doing
that. Yeah, we did that podcast break.
Yeah. Yes.
About 2 weeks. So. Yeah. About 2 weeks, yeah. Well, something else happened recently, right?
Yes.
You know, the officer who was kneeling on that, you know, man's neck, George Floyd, ended up dying from that. And there's a lot of people outraged out there right now. You know, is that something that somebody has some words of wisdom about?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. The things that comes to my heart the most is, you know, and hey, the Word of God teaches us to love and honor all men, and that should be an intent in our heart. And as far as I can remember, I've never even thought of a color of skin or anything to be any kind of anything to think bad or better than of somebody, you know. And the scriptures do tell us, you know. It's funny because when Jesus went to the well in Samaria, if you guys remember that, there was a woman that came and he asked her for a drink, and she goes, "Hey, what are you doing talking to me? Because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to Samaritans." So, but Jesus was showing, hey, the time is coming that you know, everybody will be taught by the Lord. You know, every the time is coming that God's going to teach people that you worship Him in spirit and in truth, and there's not a particular place where you have to worship Him, as long as you're worshiping Him. And He didn't show any kind of prejudice against the Samaritans. Right? He loved, and that's one of the things about Christianity. If Christ lives in you, then that same spirit that dwelled in Him dwells in us. And so, how could we even have any kind of excuse for having any kind of, you know, I understand that some people get hurt by other folks and stuff, but there still needs to be forgiveness and love and respect and honor for all men.
Well, I'm saddened by when I see stuff like that, that people actually take sides, that there has to be sides. You know, you're either for the police or you're either for the guy that, you know, the family of the guy that got hurt, rather than to just say, you know, the unity part that says, let's work this out, let's talk this thing out, instead of going through the streets and destroying things to make some kind of a statement, you know. And even what you were saying right now, because of that guy, now they're talking about defunding police and things like that. When in the world would you ever hear of a nation being run without a police force, you know? I mean, it just seems, you know, just seems unreal that people would even be thinking of things like that. And not to say that we should even have it. If we were all in the right place, we wouldn't need police forces or anything like that. But it ain't heaven yet. So, you know, things happen. And so I just pray for that unity that only God can bring. And at this point, it sure seems like there's a lot of dissension going on with, you know, you're either on this group or you're in that group, and that's it. You know, you can't have an opinion that'll differ without getting into a mess, you know, so.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of outrage at the situation. And from that outrage, I think a lot of people are making decisions that aren't necessarily for the best. And some of those decisions are like the riots that are happening and the protests. And in the response to those protests, I don't believe that some of the police are responding in the right way, in just the same way that some of the protesters and the rioters, that they're not responding in the right way. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's a lot of dissension right now. And I think the only way to unify people like you're talking about is by bringing God into the equation and like looking towards what He has and His advice and His counsel, and to just ask Him, Lord, what do we do in this situation? Because as you see, our understanding on the situation isn't working. We're getting farther away from the answer than we are to the truth.
That's right.
Yeah, because you know, I at least when it's you know, something we're talking about, like scripture and stuff. Like here's one of them. It's like Colossians 3:11. It says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And it's just kind of got to be this thing where, you know, at least for believers, that we, you know, have to look beyond, you know, where somebody comes from and look at them as, you know, well, that's, you know, that's somebody that's chosen by God. And even people who aren't believers, you know, they're still, you know, they bear the image of our Creator.
That's right.
And we should honor and respect that. And, you know, I don't know. To me, it just seems like, you know, with all that's happened, you know, I really do think it's like this really big deception right now that, you know, it's just building and building on itself, where, you know, there's this false sense of unity, you know, over these different issues and everything. And it's really something that's just tearing us more and more apart. Because, you know, when Jesus was praying in the garden, He prayed for unity, you know, especially, you know, with us as believers. There's even, you know, a lot of dissension among believers about what should be going on during these times. And, you know, it's something we really just need to be careful of, that, you know, we need to look and see that, you know, we're supposed to be unified and we're supposed to get rid of things like anger, wrath, bitterness, because that's just going to create more problems for us.
While we're on scripture, I think the Lord brought me to Philippians 2:14, and it's shining brightly for Christ, right? That's the title of it. And it says to do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God, and I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. So it's like we think that we're doing the right thing according to our knowledge, when in the scripture it calls for something completely different, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And isn't it the child of God's, isn't it that our calling, that we be, just like it said in the scripture, he said that we be the light. And it's important that we understand that, you know, everything, I mean, these kind of issues don't just show up all of a sudden. It's no. All these issues are little tiny things coming to a head, if you will. Like, yeah. I mean, I remember watching some Raiders fans, beating on, you know, fighting on the opposing team, you know. I mean, yeah. Those kind of things. And, you know, Democrats against the Republicans, yeah. And the anger and all the words being spoken. See, yeah. these things are coming to a head because of the unchecked spirit that man has been living under, because they think they can just do anything they want to do with God watching and God looking on. And it's important that we pay attention to what's going on in our own heart.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to inspect their own heart and say, God, I mean, hey, I'm having these feelings about this person, and I understand I don't want these feelings. And we need to check ourselves. And because it has to begin with us. The Bible says the judgment begins in the house of God. Those kind of things, those understandings need to help come from us and then move out into our arenas that we're in, no matter where we're at. So it's a matter of seeking God. It really is. Yeah. I believe for Christians, it's a matter of finding out what God has to say about it and what he wants you to do about it. And so, I mean, I believe the body of Christ needs to be praying like crazy right now, because yeah. These things, I mean, the natural man, they don't understand these things.
Right.
How
yeah.
can they?
Yeah.
Because they're not even looking at it. But spiritual, I mean, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face,
yeah.
Then he says, then I'll hear. I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. So it's important that the body of Christ is actually on their knees for our nation, for our world, and seeking God for the answers for these things.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. And, you know, I think that kind of what you see is that there's all these people following these different, I guess, like thought leaders. And, you know, the amongst different organizations or different political parties, yeah. and really, you know, people are kind of like going along with that. And some of it, you know, it might be good, but, you know, it's not really going to work unless it's something that God is driving and it's, you know, what God wants. And I think it's pretty easy to get caught up in everything because there's a lot of emotion in it. And we just need to, you know, as Christians, to make sure we step back and then, you know, we're like, well, is God in this? And make sure that he is. Otherwise, it's, you know, a plan that probably fail mm-hmm. or, you know, might drive us into something worse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we also have to be people, too, who, like, if we see people that are, you know, out there doing something that, you know, could be wrong, like, you know, looting, or, you know, if there are people out there that, you know, are saying things that are racist, you know, that we actually still have a heart for them. We pray for them. We pray for their salvation. We pray for their healing.
Yeah. So. And that's a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the injustices committed by these yeah. people. And and to overcome that, and that is truly Christ-like, is to look at them the same way that you love yourself, you know? Yeah. And I like what you said about needing prayer and needing to just be praying for the situation, because there's only so much that we can do, and it looks like what we have done hasn't been working.
Absolutely.
And I keep going back to that, but prayer really, really reveals the behind the scenes that God is working on, and by praying, we're putting that on the fast track.
Absolutely.
And I think what's going on right now is that neither side is right. There might be points that they're trying to make that are right in their eyes, that are righteous in their eyes, but two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah.
And I think we just need that clarity, that unity that comes with God, and that can come through prayer. Because a lot of these people, they might not be Christ followers. They might not know the Lord in the way that we do. And all we can do is ask that He show them the way that we see, or the way that we hear, or to just open their hearts to His presence. Because without God, this situation isn't going to go anywhere but down.
That's right. There's something about the police and I'm going to tell you, not every, you know, for some reason, of, you know, you've heard that old statement that one bad apple doesn't, what was that?
How's spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Babe, I think it was the Jackson 5 or something.
Yeah.
One bad apple. But, you know, and it's just that way. And I remember, I was raised Catholic, and I had some great priests. And you know, when they had some problems with some of the priests in the Catholic Church, I remember somebody saying to me, "Oh yeah, yeah, the priests, did they do this, that, and the other two?" I said, "No, man, these guys were holy men. They loved their God, man. And so it's just not, you just can't put, just because there's a few bad ones doesn't mean that the whole system is bad." And that's why I'm not for the defunding the police departments and everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mistake myself. That's my own opinion. And my opinion comes from Romans 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject to higher powers. For there is no power but of God," is what the Word of God says. "Powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise from the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain." And I love this part right here. "He is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." So I love that. I love that the Word of God, where it literally tells us to honor those police officers and our governments that are there to help us. And like I've said before, we are in a time where people aren't afraid to say anything or tweet anything or text anything about anybody, and with no fear that God could even step in, and God can step in.
Yeah.
And I believe that God has called us to honor these people, and that's what we do.
Amen.
One of the things that we know with the Bible, that everything that we go through our lives always comes out of the Bible. You know, we see certain things, and we have to understand that, you know, what's happening right now in the world, and it's really sad, where it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweets and sweet for bitter." They're all doing it. I mean, the Word is saying that this is happening.
That's right.
We need, you know, we need to understand and go to God and say, "This is not something that we want," and pray that it doesn't come to pass. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to speak and look and envision the goodness that we can have, instead of looking at the negative all the time. We need to start looking at the positive and start saying, "No, we don't want to look and see that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter." And, you know, we need to know that sweet is sweet and bitter is bitter.
That's right.
But God you know, and we need to look at it instead of just looking at the negative. We need to start looking at the positive.
Appreciate
all the other things that they're doing out there. They're not televising it. They're not saying all the good stuff that's happening.
And it does seem that way, that if we're not watching destruction, if we're not watching all those things on the news, you know, with the fires and the destruction, then nobody cares about what, like what Stella's talking about. You know, all those good things that are happening get kind of muffled in the whole picture, because it's not exciting enough, I guess, when somebody's loving somebody, you know. More exciting to see somebody breaking windows and taking somebody else's property, you know. And so there is a lot of good things going on in this world, and I thank God for that. I thank God that, you know, a lot of the stuff that does happen is really promotion by our medias. It's like, think about it. If nobody was out there televising these protests, nobody was out there televising the destruction, how would you know? Who would care? You know, people want to make a statement. And by having all this attention, then that statement gets made. And so what happens? Those with a little quiet voice like us, we don't get heard.
And we get drowned out.
And we get drowned out. That's exactly.
But there's a lot of protesting out there that is peaceful. Yeah. And they're not televising the peaceful ones. They're not televising the people that are saying, hey, I don't want the violence. I just want things to change.
And they're even being condemned for that, too. I've seen a lot of peaceful protests on social media where police have just came and just started shooting with rubber bullets and taking and destroying their waters. And it's sad to see. It's like, what direction are we heading right now? I feel like it's just kind of, we're really just in a riff. Like, we don't really have a direction for ourselves. And one of the scriptures that I wanted to bring up about that is that wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So what do we treasure right now? What do we hold dear to our hearts? And I feel like that's kind of what we're experiencing right now. We really don't have what we used to have. We've kind of forgotten our first love and the reason that this country was created, you know, in God we trust. And now that he's slowly starting to remove, or we're removing him from the picture, it's like that treasure is no longer there in our hearts, and we're kind of seeing the effects of that.
Yeah.
So I feel like a call to action would just be to put that treasure back where it needs to be, to remember the reason why we're here and
Amen.
What point we serve.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, because I've seen a lot of it where, like just today I saw this, it was a video, and I guess they kind of owned up to it today, but there was in Minnesota, like some officers were slashing tires in a Kmart parking lot, and they're like, well, you know, we're thinking, you know, these people are going to cause issues with people. And it was even some rental cars of people who were news people. And, you know, like Daniel was saying earlier, that, you know, we see a lot of these responses that are, you know, not the best responses to have at this time. You know, you're just going to enrage and incite people more. But, you know, it's the thing where it's being driven by media, too. Like, this stuff does need to get exposed, but we also need to see the good stuff where people are praying together, people are hugging each other, you know, like officers talking to people like, you know, I love you, I respect you, thank you for being here, because, you know, if I wasn't working right now, I'd be right there with you. You know, so there is a lot of that where we're not seeing it. We're not seeing people clean up. We're not seeing, you know, people like scrubbing graffiti off the wall. And, you know, we're just seeing this other stuff that's kind of like just driving us more and more. But, you know, like I was saying before, I think it's really just, you know, the enemy is like, you know, working his plan. And he's just, you know, like feeding people's anger more and more. And that's on both sides. So.
And I feel like one of the best ways to kind of promote that good is to use the weapons that God has provided for us through the Spirit. I'm going to go back to some scripture here at 2 Corinthians 10, 4-5. It says that we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And I feel like right now, the idea to obey is on the forefront of everybody's minds, either to rebel against that force that's telling you to do something. You know, as the police are telling you, you can't do this, everybody's like, yes, I can. Mm-hmm. And you can try to stop me. And to take away that rebellion and to teach them to obey Christ, right? I feel like that's one of our most important duties at this time, is just to do what we can, because what we can is all we can do.
Yeah. And you know, that's it's such a huge thing where it's got to be it's like an issue of your faith, you know, where like you gotta understand, like, well, if I don't do anything, who's going to do something? Because look how long this has been going on and I haven't seen any change. And it's like, well, you know what? You gotta press into God even harder. You know, just keep praying, keep reading your Bible, show people the love that, you know, God's asked us to do, show. And it's really a matter of us trying to act contrary to the nature that's within us. You know, the flesh is acting contrary to our spirit, the spirit contrary to the flesh. And they want different things, and we gotta overcome it. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a done deal. We just need to not feed into that easier base emotion that we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so important to pray for our police force, pray for our military, pray for our government. I mean, because if you look out there right now, there's a lot of stuff that's not so good, right? And then man on his own, he's not good, right? And when we're led by ourselves, by the flesh, then we stumble, we fall, we do things that we're seeing on TV and being amplified over and over. But, you know, the cool thing was, I mean, when the ruler came up to Jesus and he said, "Good master," and Jesus' reply was, "Why do you call me good master? There's only one that's good." So as men, we're not good on our own, right? But the cool thing is what was done for us. And, you know, if we can ever grasp hold of what was really done, and we get that change in our hearts, we receive that. You know, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Mm-hmm. Amen. "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, but in whose spirit there is no guile." You know, what a awesome, awesome thing that he's done for us. When you receive that, you walk in that, you know, it's world-changing.
Amen.
And this whole situation could be fixed.
Amen. Amen.
I like the scripture where Daniel brought up, where it says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I'll reiterate that it's important that we do pray as the body of Christ, that we are in prayer. I mean, a lot of folks will say, "I don't know what to do." Yeah, you do. If you're a Christian, you pray. You ask God, say, "God, what do you say about this, Lord?" And sometimes I would say that the Lord would say, "Well, I've given you authority over these things. Why don't you use some authority in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Use the gift of tongues that so many people are afraid of, but use that, because these are the weapons of our warfare. This is what they are."
Yeah.
And God would say, "Pray." God says, "You know what to do. Seek me, and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart." Our problem is we don't seek him with all our heart. We watch everything going around us. We live by what we see, and the Word of God tells us that that's a mistake. We are not to live by what we see. We are to live by faith. We are to see the invisible things, the things of God. And if we are, like the Word of God tells us, to seek first the kingdom of God, if we're doing that, we will begin to see the things that God is determining on these things. I believe God can stop it.
Yeah.
I believe God can shut it down in an instant. And but is the body of Christ doing what they're called to do?
Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, that really is the thing. Are you praying? Are you asking God, "What would you have me to do?" Are you seeking him for that? Or are you just looking at things that are the circumstances and saying, "There's no answer"? Oh yeah, there's an answer. His name is Jesus. That's the answer.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the most important things that I've come to learn in my relationship with the Lord that I'm gracious to my non and thoughtful for is that you have to be willing to take up that mantle. And if you're not willing, like you said, with your whole heart, you know, there's a lot of lukewarm out there going on. So you got to be willing, and not only just willing, but willing with your whole heart. And if you can do that, it's not as easy as it sounds, but if you can do that, change will happen. Change will come, and he will make sure of that. But we just have to have faith, like you said, and that's hard to do, to have faith in the invisible, because in the flesh, faith is, I think it was a devotional about faith and like red lights and green lights. You know, we stop at red lights and then we go during green lights because we have faith that the other side has a red light. And, yes, you know, it's thought. Like,
good
it's
point.
Like we take a look at a chair to see if it has four legs before we sit down. Like that's faith in the flesh and things that we can see. When we look at supernatural faith, it's that faith in the invisible, yeah. Like you said, and that faith is not easy to come by. There's a lot of people that they'll see and they won't see, rather, and they won't have faith because they don't know. And I think the way that you can build that faith up, that supernatural faith, is in your relationship with the Lord. And I believe that's the only way to build that faith up. Amen. But
amen. Praise God.
That's praise God.
Yeah, and I think, too, an important thing is to understand what does it really mean to seek God with your whole heart? Because I think a lot of people think maybe they have. You know, like, well, I prayed about it a lot, you know. It's like, okay, you know, I read my Bible a lot. But, I mean, like, did you really dedicate yourself to it? Is it something where you're spending more time doing that than anything else? Or you know, are you spending more time on things that entertain you or distract you? And, you know, do you see change in yourself? Do you see growth in yourself? And, you know, when you really start seeing those types of things, and maybe, you know, you start hearing from God, and it's like, well, then you're starting to seek him with your whole heart.
Amen.
You know, it's not just a matter of being there once in a while or saying, you know, I'm going to commit myself to church every Sunday. You know, it's beyond that. It's a relationship, and it's also service to God. Amen. At all times. Amen. Just like Romans 12, you know, that we're supposed to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know, it's sacrifice. That means you're giving up something in order to do what God's called you to do.
There are a lot of idols out there that people don't look towards as idols. Anything that takes up your time away from him can be, well, not anything, I should reiterate that, right? Like for me, I have this mobile game that I play a lot, and I've been thinking a lot lately, and the Lord's been working in me, and he's helping me to realize that, look at all the time you're spending on this game. Could you be using that time for me? And when I think about it, it's like, well, yeah, I can, and I should be. But this thing is so fun. I have such a good time playing it, and I get a good smile whenever I win, and whenever I lose, it motivates me to try harder. You know, but in reality, this thing is taking away from the time that I could be spending with God. And so a lot of things in life are like that. Video games, sports, you know, everything in moderation, but anything that's taking up your time from God, that time that you could be using more wisely, I feel like should be at least recognized. And if you feel that you need to step away from it, then step away and see where God leads you, see what God takes you to. But if you don't recognize those things, how can you possibly change?
Yeah.
You know, and that comes back to the idols. And not everything is an idol, and
yeah.
I don't want to imply that or anything like that. But
I gotta install some apps right now. But I mean, one thing I've kind of like done with myself these past few years is kind of thinking with like a more, I guess, eternal mindset, and it's thinking, it's like, okay, if I spend time doing this, you know, how's that going to help me in light of eternity? You know, what kind of lasting effect does this have? You know, is this something that's going to glorify God? Yeah. Is this something that's going to be part of my reward in heaven? Is this somebody that's going to lead to somebody's salvation? Or, you know, is this something I'm just killing some time? I'm just, you know, just being, you know, numbing myself. And I think it's really important that we take a look at all that we're doing. And it's okay to have fun, you know. It's not an idol unless it takes precedence over God.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So. And it's funny, you know, even as a Christian, even, you know, as long as I've been serving, which a lot of folks say, you know, I've been in the way a long time. You say, yeah, well, you need to get out of the way, right? but even that, even at that, distractions are almost a constant thing.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get distracted. Like I've said before, I've gotten up and I start praying on my way to work when I was going to work. I'm praying on my way, and then all of a sudden a rabbit or something, I'd see something on the road, and it would totally distract me about what I was actually doing. Uh-huh. And so it's almost like with intent of heart, with a love for God, that you go after Him and you go after the things that He has for you, and you cry. I mean, there is I love that word, crying out for the things that God has for you. Yeah. And I believe when you're moving in that with your whole being, man, you're crying out and you say, God, I just want to know more about you. I want to know more of the things that you have for us and the body of Christ. I just want to know that. So, Lord, show me these things. I believe that your words are very important to God. And I love praying in the Spirit. But I do love to very, very intently tell Him, God, I want to see another mystery. I want you to show me another mystery. God, I want you to show me a key of your kingdom. Show me that golden key for this or that golden key for that. And go after those things with full intent of heart. And you can tell, you know, when you're really going after God. And so you sense it, you know it. And I believe you'll reap the results of it, because God is always trying to talk to us. He's always desiring to say something good and new to us. And so go after Him with your whole heart, man, and try to relieve those distractions. I was trying to pray, and I noticed that even studying my Bible while I'm praying and studying my Bible, if I put music on, I love music. No. So I'd start tapping my hands, and I almost did that. Sorry, man. I'd start tapping my hands and moving with a beat. Before you know it, I was listening more to the music than what was going on in my heart. And I'm realizing I need to really focus. It's important that we focus. The old, you know, those little Bibles that the Gideons give away?
Yeah.
If you read in there, there's a little thing. It talks about the Bible, about the Word of God. But one of the things it says, read it slowly and with intent, and think about the words that are being said that you're reading. And I love that little, just that little thing it says about going after God and the Word of God. And if you do it that way, with intent of heart, man, you'll reap what God is trying to sow in your heart, man. You really will, man.
Amen.
So on the mysteries of God, you talking about that little bit. Before I came here, a prayer came to me as I was talking to my Nana Bata. You know, we just talk about God. You know, it's kind of a staple in our relationship. And the prayer that came to me was, Lord, I pray you make known to me the mystery of your ways, so that I may live my life as you intended. You know, we were talking about this idea that if God came to us with the end point of a lot of the things of the journeys that He has for us, would we still go after it, you know? Or would we be like, oh, I can't do that?
Yeah.
You know, and if we can get to those mysteries that He has for us, then I feel like we can live the life that He intends for us. Absolutely. Otherwise, it's kind of just like we're trying to live the life that we want to live, which is a good thing, but at the same time, you could be doing more.
Absolutely. God doesn't want us living in the dark. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
He wants us to live in the light. He desires that. Things is that a lot of the things that we don't understand about Him, they're darkness to us. And God told and said in Isaiah, he says, I will give to you the treasures of darkness. And those are the things that he reveals to you. And so, continue to ask him, Daniel, for those things. Reveal these things. Lord, show me the things you have. God is desiring to pour his spirit upon all flesh. And you will dream dreams. And John, you'll have visions. Is that right?
The other way around.
But that, his desire is to do that, to show us. He's asking me and I'll show you great things to come. And so he's always desiring to give us, but our mode of arriving to that is not with our whole heart. We kind of want to get him here and there, and God, but we don't really want to go after him for those things where he's trying to get us to come after them. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, these things that he's trying to give us. Amen. Keep them.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Yeah, you know, I think that's an excellent way to end it there. I don't think we can put a finer point on it. So, is there anybody that would like to pray?
Long told. All right, praise God, definitely praise God. Father God, I thank you for bringing me to this table today. I know without you, none of this would be possible. I ask that you bless the ears of those who are listening to this podcast right now, Lord. Yes. Let them receive the message that you want their spirit to receive.
Yes, Lord.
Let them have open eyes and open ears and open hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the men and women sitting around me right now, for they are strengthening my my faith in you and my love for you with every word that they speak. Lord, just thank you. I can't put into words just the depths that you brought me from, and the mountains you're going to take me to, and the children that you love so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Amen. Thanks for having me, by the way. Thank you.
Thanks for coming, Daniel. Pastor John, would you just pray over the situation that we're going through with our nation?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Lord, we do come before you, Lord. Lord, as we see those, as we were speaking earlier, Lord, of the destruction and the dissension and the things, Lord, that are not you, Lord.
Yes.
This is not you, Lord. And so, Lord, you have given us the authority, yes, as Pastor said, Lord, yes, that you've given us the authority and the weapons to come, yes, against what the enemy is doing in this nation.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we know that the most powerful weapon we have is the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And we speak that name upon this nation,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
One nation, Lord, under God.
Yes, Lord.
We speak the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And every knee should bow, will, yes, bow, Lord, to the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And so whatever it is, Lord, that the enemy is trying to bring forth, we know, Lord, that you have won the battle, Lord.
Yes,
this,
Lord,
battle belongs to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And, thank, Lord, you, we thank you for those things that we may not be seeing today, but we know that you have seen them, Lord. And we trust, Lord, that you love this nation.
Yes.
You love our governments.
Yeah.
You love those people, Lord, that have been hurt. Lord, you love every one of those that are involved in this, Lord. Your will be done in this nation,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.